Shalom liYehudim, Shalom leBnei Noach, Shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Yudalas B'Nisan, Tafshin Ayin Hey, Parashas Shabbos Pesach, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 2 April 2015, webcasting from the home of the chosen people. How odd, how Goyim have hated the Jews for claiming that title, and at the same time, it's the same Goyim who are functionally addicted to choosing us for a treatment that no other people is subjected to. Consider the following stories in the news today. In Lausanne, Switzerland, the six most important industrialized societies continue to debate how to handle Iran's public desire to annihilate the state of Israel. It is Israel that is at the center, the nuclear core of those talks about nuclear power. And how like the Evian Conference of 1938, in which scores of Goy countries discussed what to do with the rising tsunami of Jewish refugees while denying Golda Meir the right to speak for the Jewish people still under the British mandate in the Holy Land. How the Jews were at the center of the Evian Conference that denied Jews a representative, and here we see the P5 plus one negotiating with Iran over our very survival while excluding a seat at the table in Lausanne for us. And then, according to J-Post hard copy this morning, Southampton University in England is about to host a conference attacking Israel's very right to exist. Sort of a more genteel way of dealing with the same feelings coursing through the black hearts of the Iranian mullahs. The sponsors of this conference, I think, are on a par with the last century's Hitler and these maniacal Muslim priests who rule in old Persia, who also want to see Israel disappear. And never mind the pain and suffering of the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Jews, who would die and suffer in such a holocaust. The conference sponsors are surely the types who snarl at Jews for thinking they're the chosen people, as they are blind to their own obsession with the chosen people and choosing us for a special homicidal fate. Apart from the will of Hashem, we are the chosen people because Jew-hating people choose us all the time for their evil schemes. Last webcast, I pointed to the Iranian general who said that the destruction of Israel is non-negotiable, and Prime Minister Netanyahu the next day answered him with a video statement on that nauseating, that's my word, fact of the talks in Lausanne not being called off, because this is the true face of Iran. And why, as I've said from day one, it is wrong to negotiate with such people whose responsibility and guilt for crimes and evil are not in doubt. They publicly fess up to them. Moreover, besides the moral plane here, there's also human reason that logically should tell us about the futility of negotiating with such people. These Lausanne talks are on the same level of intellectual pollution as Balin, Paris, and Rabin negotiating with Arafat. Only self-invented socialists like them, with no history of life in the real world, would go into business, make a deal with such a slimy reptile of a human being as Yasser Arafat. The very idea of making the Oslo Agreement with him and Abbas at his side in 1933 was virtually insane. The Mossad had told them that their own records show Arafat making some 200 agreements, mostly with fellow terrorists, heads of state, and others, violating every one of them. But they went ahead anyway, in the name of peace. And there's too, the Jews remain a chosen people, whose leaders at that moment exercised a kind of stupidity that is not normal. It's a cosmic stupidity about people, about human psychology, religion, character, and judgment. On the face of it, the Oslo delusionists believed at some level that a nice deal agreement could be worked out with Arafat and his Arab supporters. On the face of it, they judged Arafat a man they could go into business with and together would rule over a kind of condominium, a sharing of Judea and Samaria, administering two states for two peoples. So the prime minister was right yesterday to go before the cameras and basically tell those diplomats in Lausanne, this is with whom we are dealing, and it is, his word, unconscionable that the P5 plus one countries, when apprised of this general statement, did not get up out of their chairs and leave the room. By continuing to talk, they validated such talk as acceptable. And by continuing to talk, It remains business as usual, and no notice is taken of this public expression of yet another genocidal Nazi-like fantasy. In this generation, by continuing to talk, they participate in Iran's evil designs. We are the chosen people. Over our very existence as an independent community in our ancient promised land, six major powers on the planet have been locked in talks whose nuclear core is the nuclear Iranian desire to A, build an atomic bomb, and B, drop it on the Jews as guiltlessly as Germans massacred Jews in the 20th century. Students in England spew words denying Israel's right to exist. And in the International Criminal Court yesterday, Arabs pretending to be in possession of a state when in reality there is no such state were admitted as the state of Palestine. And this is a bit like an adult joining in his child's belief in an imaginary playmate, joining his child in the fantasy that an invisible boy sits next to him. Against no other state has mankind behaved like this. Again, we are the chosen people. We are chosen by the people of the peoples in their abysmal hatred of Jewishness, the existence of the Jewish people. The headline in the International New York Times was, quote, "Joining court, Palestinians take a bold step," close quote. What bold step? There's nothing bold in being politically correct, up to date, and the ICC warmly welcomed a representative of this generation's designated Jew-killing nation, the Phantom Nation. Every generation has one. And the Russians had their pogroms, and the Spaniards had their Inquisition, and the English and French their mobs and expulsions. About the Germans, nothing need be said. Today it's the Palestinians who are history's designated leading Jew-killer collective. So there was nothing bold about this step. It's no secret that the PLO wants to smear the Jews in that court with their own guilt as perpetrators of criminal violence. The PLO wants to smear the Jews with war crimes when the PLO entered history via one war crime after another. Years of terror attacks in which thousands were killed or wounded. Every one a crime against humanity for targeting humanity at random. Terrorists, by definition, target the defenseless and the unsuspecting innocent civilian, not soldiers in uniform on active duty. That's what the PLO is famous for. This is really better in a way than Alice in Wonderland. The very idea of these uncivilized savages going to court to accuse Israel of criminal violence against innocent people is, an irony of historical peculiarity? In my book, I record how Arafat deliberately wanted to create a Palestinian identity, a people known first of all for its terrorists. Ergo, such attention-getting horrors as penetrating the Olympic Games in 1972, that symbol, not of strife between peoples, but friendly competition in order to slaughter Jews and spill their blood on the international community. The very idea today of admitting a phantom nation of words, all of them lies, into the International Criminal Court, where it wants to accuse Israel of basically terrorism, leaves me speechless. What's going on in this world with this generation's lunatic obsession with the Jews, called the P5 plus one talks? This is all lunacy. These six countries sitting across the table from Iran are daily wrestling with the fantasy of a potential Holocaust II, which the Iranians appear eager to pull off, chas v'shalom. The President of the United States, by most accounts, now playing spokesman for the Iranians in those talks. Spokesman for the Iranians against the other five. Once again, this is evidence that Barack Hussein Obama, more than any American Jew accused of dual loyalty, of basically insincere patriotism, President Obama is the one of suspect loyalty. How bizarre to see, even in the MSM these days, a consensus that Kerry and team are defending Iran before the others. You know, Kerry, the Viet Cong partner, and Obama, the Islam lover. This is the age of Aquarius, the spirit of the 1960s at its most putrid, its lowest form. These two guys identify with the enemy And just published today was a opinion poll suggesting that one-third of Americans think Jews are more loyal to Israel than America. No, it's Obama who is more loyal to Islam than to America.
בתחילה כמעה כמעה, בתחילה כמעה כמעה, ואין לך אפלה גדולה מאותה השעה שלפני השחר. בתחילה כמעה כמעה, בתחילה כמעה כמעה, בתחילה כמעה כמעה, בכל מה שהיא הולכת, היא הולכת ורבה. השחר, הילד השחר, הילד השחר שבקע אורה, כך היא גאולתם של ישראל. הוא הילד השחר, הילד השחר שבקע אורה, כך היא גאולתם של ישראל. בכל מה שהיא הולכת היא רבה. מתחילה כמעה כמעה, מתחילה כמעה כמעה, ואין לך אפלה גדולה מאותה שעה שלפני השחר. מתחילה כמעה כמעה, מתחילה כמעה כמעה, מתחילה כמעה כמעה, בכל מה שהיא הולכת השחר, הילד השחר שבקע אורה, כך היא גאולתם של ישראל. כמו הילד השחר, הילד השחר שבקע אורה, כך היא גאולתם. הילד השחר, הילד השחר, הילד השחר אורה, איילת השחר, יואו, איילת השחר, איילת השחר שבקע אורה, כך היא גאולתה של ישראל.
Well, so much for the P5+1 negotiations, successor to the Evian Conference of 1938. Here on the home front, the Army reports a successful test of a longer-range anti-missile missile than the Iron Dome system. They say only two batteries of these will be sufficient to cover the whole country. At the same time, the home front command this week scared us with a scenario of another missile barrage from Lebanon, much worse than the 4,000 Katyushas we were hit by in 2006. The next time is likely to result in major destruction and hundreds of casualties. We are the chosen people. How many other states these days in any region are threatened with mass death and even total destruction and periodically endure volleys of missiles fired into their homes, streets, schools, synagogues, hospitals? For sure, we have no monopoly on that kind of suffering. Just think of today's Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Libya. Today in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, another 15 soldiers were killed by ISIS types. About the same number of them died in these clashes. But that kind of behavior in Sinai and Syria Iraq and elsewhere, well, it's quite normal there, and thus should not overly concern us. The Arabs are forever doing that to one another. Fratricide is a way of life. This week in Damascus, we read of an ISIS-loving band conquering, that was the word used, an entire UNWA area, where PLO gangs have ruled for decades. There were vague reports of conquering the UNWA camp called Al Yarmouk, south of Damascus, but left unsaid what that meant. I mean, what were they conquering? Precious oil fields and diamond mines? No, the ISIS types attacked, it seems, the allegedly secular PLO types. But pay no attention to the allegedly rival ideologies between the two groups. You know, like Fatah and Hamas and the split between them. These are all just Arab gangs who love toting and firing off weapons of death and getting into firefights with other fellow PLO groups. In my book, I cover the 1980s in southern Lebanon and the war of the camps, in the camps, refugee areas, between the different PLO factions, likewise having gang fights with military weapons in the streets where they lived. These are gangs, and we miss the truth by falling for the fancy names they come up for themselves. The PLO in those days had the PFLP, and the DPFLP, and the PFLP-GC, and the PLF, and the Thunderbolt, and Fatah, which means Conquest of the Infidel. At one point, there were 18 such groups, and even more than in Syria these last 4 years at war with Assad and his allies and at war with one another. It's a snake pit in Syria these days of fratricidal people, always killing one another. The whole Middle East is like that. In Yemen this week, the Houthi or Houthi tribe, you got that? This is a tribe, not a nation. They're in mostly in the north, and they have overrun the capital of Sana'a toward the south, or in the middle. And because this tribe professes a branch of Shiism called Zaydi Shiism, they are backed by Iran against the Sunni Arabs there. What's missing from the MSM, of course, as always, is history, such as the fact that, in fact, the Shiites had ruled Yemen for centuries until 1962, mostly from these Houthis, where they were brought down by Nasser of Egypt, who used poison gas against the enemy, that is, fellow Arabs. In Algeria's War of Independence at that time, the two rebel groups killed one European colonist for every eight fellow Muslim rivals that they shot dead, or stabbed, or garroted. This was in the 1950s. Then again in the 1970s, next generation Algerians went to war among themselves again, during which 200,000 people were mostly murdered, not killed in conventional military battles. On that score, today, Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon reported that the IDF operation 3 months ago on the Golan, which basically decapitated about a dozen of the Iranians and Lebanese in charge, Hezbollah, of establishing a Hezbollah stronghold there. Well, that operation put an end to such plans for the time being, of course. For sure, the region is experiencing a swelling of Muslim murder groups, today called ISIS. Notice how ISIS in Iraq is targeted by Iran, and the irony that both really have the same name. Iran calls itself the Islamic Republic, and ISIS is self-described as the Islamic State. This is reminiscent of the decades of hostility between Syria and Iraq under Hafez al-Assad in one and Saddam Hussein in the other, both claiming to be part of the same Arab Socialist Baath movement. In a way, all these names are meant to keep the truth cloaked in deception. Like inventing the Palestinians to cover up the virtually primeval Arab and Muslim hatred of Jews that preceded the Palestinian national movement by millennia and has never gone away, I make the point in my book that the Palestinians were invented precisely to cover up the historic Arab-Muslim aggression and resistance to the Jewish renaissance in the Jews' ancient homeland.
היום יום הולדת שמח, היום זה יום כזה שבא לך לבכות משמחה, היום הוא יום בו המלאך לחש לך. את שמך אכל לך להנהיג כשתצא לדרך ויהיה מדהים היום גילו לך הכל היום אתה תבין הכל היום יום הולדת שמח היום זה יום כזה שבא לך לצרוק מבושה היום הוא יום בו המלאך שאל אותך מה איתך? מה קורה לך היום? כשאתה בדרך ואתה גדול היום שכחת את הכל היום קרה לך הכל נשכב בשלווה היום הוא יום בו אלוקים ברך אותך והוא תמיד שומר אותך בזה היום והוא תמיד יעיר אותך מהחלום היום אתה תשכח הכל היום יום הולדת שמח היום
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. On the home front this week as well, there was a report of Prime Minister Netanyahu relenting and restoring the money flow, which he had halted when the PLO said it was going to join the ICC. Of course, Israel said, the PLO said, it won't pursue a case there, therefore he relented. And the PLO denied that as the price for restoring the payments. There had been talk from the GSS being worried about riots if the money spigot was not turned on again, so maybe it makes sense to do that, do as Bibi did. This seems to be our fate for the foreseeable future. There is no solution. The cosmic stupidity of the Oslo fools was thinking it was in their power to reform Arafat and turn him into a satisfactory collaborator for the good of both peoples. There is an arrogant, even a megalomania here in thinking that, in addition to the failure to judge Arafat clearly as an evil man not to be trusted, the so-called Palestinians may also have gotten into something they later will regret by joining the ICC. First, the possibility of a case against Israel by them for war crimes could be, experts say, years in the future. And once inside the ballpark of a court of law, the PLO has to know Israel can accuse the PLO back of crimes in the past and the current evil committed by their partners in the Hamas. One tactic of the phantom Palestinians since Oslo has been publicly declaring their opposition to attacking civilians, which is another lie, while partner Hamas has never so declared. On the contrary, Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, revels in the ambush massacre of ordinary people. In a word, analysts here seem not overly concerned by the terrorists joining the ICC. And in a related way, in a different story, there may also be less to fear than at first thought from the EU's anti-Jews in Brussels. Last week, YNET reported on a leaked report containing 40 ways to react to the Prime Minister's Election Eve declaration that there would be no ancient Palestinian state on his watch. An anonymous EU diplomat said Israel and the EU were on a collision course, and Netanyahu's statement cannot go unanswered. Evidently, they took it all as a personal attack on their deepest political belief that the ancient ones must be given a state by Israel, and so long as Israel does not, it is a racist, fascist, imperialist, colonialist aggressor. Well, as I looked over these 40 suggestions on how to pressure Israel into returning to negotiations with the victims of their Zionism, I realized the intellects at work here were like those of our Peace Now types, the B'Tselem types, the apartheid Israel in university types. These, too, suggest all kinds of media events to smear Israel with guilt, a sign of public psychodramas. Some of the suggestions were nothing but hot air. For example, EU members could or should, quote, support the reopening of Orient House in East Jerusalem and support the empowerment of civil society, such as supporting nonviolent youth community structures and leadership structures. Take further steps, the EU community can, to ensure the full and effective implementation of existing EU legislation related to settlement products and consider further legislative measures as appropriate. One of them says, support Palestinian artists and Palestinian cultural institutions in East Jerusalem. Maintain the offer of European cultural help events to be hosted by such institutions, etc., and so on and so forth. Sounds like these BDS types. There were 40 such gaseous and feeble suggestions for opposing Israel, none of them particularly threatening. What's most interesting to yours truly here is how, again, there is evidence that we are the chosen people. One wonders what other national conflict outside continental Europe so occupies these bureaucrats in Brussels that they spend hours drawing up these stupid suggestions of how one side in a conflict should attack the other. The EU is another bureaucracy of people unfit, I think, for the public sector, whose focus on Israel is beyond reason. Like the UN itself, that spends almost a half of its time blasting Israel, like its Human Rights Council with its 47 member states, whose salary goes to spending time bashing Israel in every session. For these 47 states, we are the chosen people, because they keep choosing us for special attention and a special hate.
Pirsas echoli, dogul mahechachlini, dogul mahechachlini, Hashem, eye oizer, eye oizer. Yeshuati Zachun ki chapaim Chon posech nafaim Chon posech פניך באור פניך מפחד מפחד אוי מפחד להצילי נעלני לסיון קודש גורלי השם שמע וקול ישמע וקול השם עושה חזיזים עושה חזיזים קרב קץ נחמה רחם אום לא רוחמה רחם אום לא רוחמה השם איש מלחמה
Lastly, at the end of this evening, I just saw on the Washington Times site that Obama is claiming victory. He's taking a victory lap, said the headline, for what he called, quote, a historic framework with terms to be resolved and signed by all parties by the end of June. And I'm convinced that if this framework leads to a final comprehensive deal, etc. and etc. In other words, he first seems to be saying an historic agreement has been reached. That's something in the past already. And then he says, if it leads to a final deal by the end of June, translation, there is no deal, but he wants to claim success anyway. This man is a con man. He's a double talker. Even when his statements of intent are clear, he has been proven to have been lying when he spoke them. So no sane person, a logical person, has any business believing anything he said. Okay, tomorrow is Erev Pesach, when we Jews remember and celebrate freedom from the Hamitic Egyptians who enslaved us. Next week I will do one webcast on Tuesday or Wednesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, V'chag Pesach Kasher V'Sameach.